Ezekiel chapter 33. A word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord. Lord, as we mentioned, we're thankful for the strength, the health that you give to us, dear Lord. And dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for salvation. And Lord, as maybe many of us got saved when we were young, as our bodies when we're young starts to break down and deteriorate somewhat as we get older. But Lord, if we got saved when we're young, dear Lord, it grows better every day. It grows fresher every day, dear Heavenly Father. And we're so thankful for that, dear Lord. We're so thankful for the hope that we can have, dear Lord, of a life after this, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, we're thankful that one day you spoke to our heart. And dear Lord, you gave us the opportunity. And dear Lord, there's one song we sing, Salvation, that word so divine. I know in my heart what it means. Lord, we're thankful that we have an understanding of what true salvation is, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, it's a blessing, dear Lord, that men and women can't comprehend the natural mind. You need to be born again, dear Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we're thankful for that, and we ask you to be with us, dear Lord, to help us, dear Heavenly Father, as a song Sister Ann sang, help us, dear Lord, to have no intentions, dear Lord, of turning back, dear Heavenly Father. And, Lord, we're thankful that we can have a promise that we can make heaven. Dear Lord, it's not something that's of our own strength, dear Lord, because we know of our own strength we can't make it. And, dear Lord, it's not the strength of necessarily the congregation, because as a congregation we can't make it. But it's the power through the Jesus Christ blood, as Brother Danny mentioned, and the power of the Spirit of God living and dwelling within us, dear Lord, to help us to be faithful and true and to win the battles, dear Lord, and we're thankful for that. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us as we open up the Word of God this morning. You see the thoughts that we have. We ask you to anoint the Word, anoint me that I bring it as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 33, those of us who are familiar with the Bible, very familiar part of scriptures here. And I'm going to start in verse 1. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if thy people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for a watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall be delivered, shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman seeth the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, the sword shall come and take any person from among them. He is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of thy mouth, and warn them from me. And when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from the way that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at his hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of this way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt deliver thy soul. The heading of the chapter here, of course, in different Bibles have a heading. Mine has a heading. It says Ezekiel is admonished of his duties. And my thought for this morning is, my title that I put on the message this morning here is the job of the watchman and the responsibility of the people. And the word, as we mentioned, admonished, and I was reading it a little bit even just this morning with Adam Clark, and it says that Ezekiel had came in from other nations and things, and God let him know he wanted him to be the watchman and to warn the people. And admonishment is to mean warn or reprimand some firmly. And, you know, maybe read this passage many a times, and I've read it many a times. I've read it many and many a times, even for myself. And just a little bit of highlights of the story that we just read here, we understand that as God back in that time, as they had cities and they had walls, and people would maybe go outside the cities to work or to do things, take care of things, but that watchman would walk the walls, and when he seen trouble coming, when he seen the enemy coming from a distance out, he would blow the trumpet. And it would only be of a reasonable mind that you would understand you knew that. You knew what the trumpet meant. And when you hear the trumpet blown, you're to stop your work, you're to stop your duties, you're to stop whatever, and get inside the city and get in there and be safe, that they can shut the doors, that you would be safe from the enemy. And it would only be a reasonable mind for you to do that. But God goes on. We understand that this application here is also a spiritual one. For the normal person, you would think, as back in the days of Noah, when he built the ark there, and he started to preach to people and he started to tell people, it's going to rain. It's not only going to rain, but the whole world is going to be destroyed by water. They disregarded it. They didn't hear him. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. Here's a man building an ark in the middle of nowhere, so to speak. But when the rains came and the floods came, they were all destroyed because they took not heed to the warning that Noah had delivered to them. The same thing with here. If they don't take heed to the warning of the watchman on the wall, and trouble came and they were taken by the sword, they were killed, God said that they shall die in their iniquity because they took not heed of the warning. Now, if they take heed and they come in safe, then well. But if the watchman on the wall doesn't blow the trumpet, he sees the warning coming, he sees the trouble coming, and he doesn't blow the trumpet, and the people lose their lives. I want you to take notice of this thought here, because we're going to get into the thought a little bit later on that people want to blame other ones for their own or their own iniquities, or put the blame on somewhere else. But if he doesn't blow the trumpet and the sword comes and he takes them and they get killed, they are still required of the sin at their hands before God. But their blood shall be upon the watchman's hands. Their blood shall be upon those that call out of the word of God. Now, just an overcap of that. We'll get into some more of it here a little bit later. And as I said, I've read this many years ago. I've read it many, many times, and it's a spot for me to there as a title that I put on there, Job of the Watchman. I have a job. I have a responsibility. And that word I've emphasized a lot in this message, responsibility. God has put a duty on me to be the watchman, to call out the word of God. And over the years of preaching and things, it's kind of interesting over the years. Sometimes when I first started preaching, you just start preaching and just bring the word. But after a while, it's like sometimes you get into some things like, and as I told you some wild months ago, me and Brother Harley were speaking one time. He goes, it's like sometimes some people, it's like talking to the wall. You can tell them, 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 and you can tell them, and you can tell them, and they don't heed. You know, people just sometimes don't listen. So in preaching, you kind of get away from the thing, just stop preaching and try to get people to understand. Try to get people to hear. Now, we live in a world today where people have no desire to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear the preaching of the word of God. They want to disregard it. They think they have their own way made out. They think they have their own plan. But God has set it in an to order this, that God have someone preach the word of God to people. Under the anointing of the Spirit of God. Now, bring all that, sort of should have jumped ahead of this verse first, but today's March 3rd, 2024. On March the 6th, 2011, I accepted the responsibility of a pastor here. 13 years. It's been 13 years. And I believe it would have been the first Sunday. March 6th would have been the first Sunday, so this would be the first Sunday in March. And I can remember that time and that day just as if it was yesterday. And also remembered, and I read this scripture, and I think Brother Davis gave me this one time, or somehow we talked to one time, and he mentioned this scripture, and I read it, and I've read it and read it and read it, and that the Lord helped me. Help me not to water things down. Help me not to back off on things. Help me to make sure I preach. And I've heard this over the years, too, at different times. I remember with Brother Barber. Not that I was here, but I remember with Brother Barber back in a period of time when he emphasized sanctification.
And they said that he preached it a lot. He just, because there was trouble with it back then of teaching sanctification, and he just preached sanctification, the importance of sanctification. Sometimes ministers get into different thoughts in life or different areas in life, and we emphasize some things. You know, some years ago, we emphasized, and we even still do, which we never thought in our wildest dreams of same-sex marriage, you know. Brother Barber probably, I don't know if Brother Barber would have ever preached that, ever. Probably wasn't even a thought in his mind. Maybe Brother Davis may have never preached it. I don't know. He might have touched on it a little bit as time went on. But today, that's not something that we don't have to worry about. It's something that we deal with every day. Not only us, but other churches that accept things. So it depends on what part of life we go through. It's emphasized. But I thank God. But God tells us to preach the word. Our Wednesday service, which the message was a blessing to me. And as I mentioned, we talked about some things of being bothered by life and expectance of life, things that happen, unexpected things that happen. And when I started to put the lesson together for Wednesday, and I said those that were here, I said, I don't know how to bring justice to this message. And I thought it was just as clear to me that God let me know. He goes, it's not your responsibility to bring justice. You just bring the word of God. And that just blessed me in a sense. You just bring the word of God. Because as some of the messages, some of the verses that I brought, and even here this morning that we bring some message, it's your responsibility. The job of the watchman and the responsibility of the people is to hear the word of God and to accept it and to live it and to apply it. You can't say, well, that's Brother Doug. If I'm bringing you the word of God out of the word of God, it is your responsibility to accept that word. It's my responsibility to bring it. And I've told you many a times in preaching, I thank God for the blessing that he's helped me in preaching. The Lord let me know this also. Your responsibility is to study the word, to bring the word, to deliver the word. But once the word gets here, it's a responsibility of the Spirit of God to deliver it to you. Understand that thought. It's a responsibility of the Spirit of God. And if you deny what the Spirit of God is bringing to you, then the blood's going to be on your hands. Yeah. We need to have a desire, saints, to come with, I need to hear what God has for me. I've mentioned that many and many and many times, and I've done myself. We never need to come to the house of God with something on our mind. And the devil will do that. Let's get us to think about, I got to go to a grocery shop, and I got to do something this week, next week, because the devil will do his best to try to tune us out. We need to find something in the word of God that's a blessing for me. That's a blessing for you. That's our responsibility. That's your responsibility as the people. As God gave the watchman a responsibility, but there also is a responsibility for the people. I thank God for the privilege of handling the Word of God. I had, many of you know Sister Spinogle, and of course with my aunt passing away, her and Sister Spinogle were very good friends, and so I texted her and told her, and we responded. Actually, we talked for a little while on the phone, And I mentioned that to her, too. I said, I thank God for the privilege of being able to handle the Word of God. Paul said that one time. It's a blessing. He says it's a blessing to be able to handle it. It's also a great responsibility. It's a humongous responsibility, the job of the watchman. And one thing about preaching, it also challenges me along with the fear that it brings with me. There's a challenge to me. As I bring the Word of God and as I study it, and there again, it's one thing to read it. It's one thing to just study it a little bit. But it's another thing, I've learned this even when I started teaching Sunday school many years ago. It's one thing to read the Word. And sometimes if you're just reading, you can kind of skip over some maybe highlights of certain things or things that aren't so highlighted. But when you're delivering it and you're preaching it or you're teaching it to somebody, there's a big difference. There's a challenge to have to know what the Word is really speaking of. So, of course, a great responsibility, a great blessing, a great challenge, and a fear. And as I said, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest while I preach to others, I myself be a castaway. And how true that is. Even for ourselves, even. You preach to somebody else out there, he mentioned to his neighbor. You say something to your neighbor, to your coworker, to your family member. You know what they do? You know what they do a lot of times? They get a big magnifying glass out and they start watching your life. They don't care about their lives, but they want to watch your life and see somewhere where there's a flaw. They do. That they can point their finger at. Let's go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, picking up in verse 1, Jesus is talking to him here. Then spake Jesus unto the multitude and to the disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. All therefore, whosoever they bid that you observe, that observe and do not ye after their own works. For they say and do not. So Jesus is saying here, there again, the watchmen on the wall, those that were Pharisees and all, they like to sit in Moses' seat. They tell people to do certain things, but they don't do them themselves. They require things of them, but they don't do them themselves. Verse 4, and they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders of their garments. So my message, my title is The Job of the Watchman. There's a job of the watchman. Brother Davis used to have this little thing, if I remember. He says, some are called, some are sent, and some just packed up and went, I think is how it went. Yeah. And how true that is. God calls people, and this is not a position where people just say, I wanted to be a pastor and take up a position. God calls people. God places people. There have been many preachers that have gone into the ministry for, as Jesus says here, for money, for honor, for recognition. The passage here in Ezekiel, there are two types of people, as we mentioned. The responsibilities are as great for the watchmen and for the people. We need to understand that. The responsibility is as great for not only just the watchmen. I have a great responsibility, but it's also even a great responsibility for the people of God or for people in general to heed the word of the watchman, to heed the sound of the trumpet. Now, we don't blow a trumpet, so to speak, for physical danger, but there's even a greater spiritual danger that we have today. And it burdens us. And many times I talk to men and say, there's such a burden, such a weight. As we said, the preacher, and I look at some of the, even this week, they're going to talk to Sister Spinogle on the phone a little bit, and she sent me a bunch of pictures from Ann Elner and a couple of Brother Spinogle. I think when he was very young, there was one of Brother Spinogle, and then there was one of Brother Spinogle when he was here in the pulpit, and some of the background pictures. I enjoy seeing those. But we have some pictures in our library, and I think right about there where Brother Herschel's sitting, if you all ever notice that those pews from there back are different from there forward, and that's all the further the church went. All this was not here from the pulpit, from where the altar is right there, was about the end of the church, and so all this stuff was up there. So that's where, and in the pictures, the pews were filled. You know, back in the time when Essex and things started to spread and started to grow in population, people came to church. People came to church. They wanted to hear the gospel. They came to Sunday school. We've got pictures downstairs on the wall. Just there's one picture. Hundreds of people all across the land. But now you can't beg people to come. You can't even force people to come. There's a responsibility for the people and the watchmen. The watchmen to preach the word. The people to fear the word, follow the word, and to believe the word. He tells Ezekiel back here, tell him the job of the watchman, and tell him the responsibility of the people. When we hear and we obey, or we don't. See, many times people, the enemy will affect people's minds to not to believe the word of God, to not to even people read it. We even have people today, they want to contradict the word of God. They want to take things of the Word of God and they want to change it. They want to lighten it up. They want to say, well, it wasn't really meaning that, but to believe the Word. So we both have a responsibility, whether we're the minister or the people, and we both will stand before God and give an account. I've often mentioned sometimes I feel, I do feel bad sometimes. I feel concerned. We mentioned denominations out there last week or so ago, that denominational preachers will preach that is less than the Word of God. And the Bible lets us know there's a teaching out there, once saved, always saved. If you teach people that you can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and continue to go out there and sin, and they're going to die in their sins, they're still going to go to hell. They're still going to die and go to hell. But that responsibility of that minister is going to be enormous. The Bible does tell us that there are, and I don't understand how this works and all, but the Bible does tell us there are degrees of hell. There are degrees of it. I'm not saying that one's going to be any more pleasurable at all. But Jesus says there will be greater punishments for those that preach the word and deceive people and the dying in their soul and their sins. We have a responsibility to hear the word. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel 18, picking up in verse 19. Look at this first line here. He's yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? A question mark. When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept the statutes, and hath done all and done them, he shall surely live. And the soul that sinneth, it die. And the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteous of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wicked of the wicked shall it be upon him. As I mentioned a little bit ago, we're living in a time when people want to put the blame on everyone else. We are. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's how I was brought up. It's this, it's that. Put the blame somewhere else. We're living in a time where it's an unusual situation to where people want to identify as an animal. I did read that a little bit. I was reading that some this morning. I was just wondering if that was true. Some of you may have heard that. And that people, children, want to identify as a cat. Brother David laughed, and I know that's kind of funny to a point, but that's absolutely disgraceful to our human race. Children that want to identify as a cat, and they want to go to class, and the teachers or the principal, they want to have a litter box in that class for those children. Now, as I read that, and I think they said that NBC in the news there was 20 different states or whatever that were allowing this, and they could not find one state that actually confirmed that had ever happened. But it was a big article about it, legislation, all that. We're concerned that these things are truly happening. But that's what people are doing today. How crazy are people? Well, it's because of somebody else's fault, this fault, that person's fault. My parents, I actually know an individual through someone else, but I know him, I've talked to him, I've been around him on occasions of gatherings, of family gatherings and things like that. But I know an individual, they actually have mentioned when their child is born, they will allow them to determine their sex as they get older. So as they're born, they will not be considered a boy or a girl. They'll be considered just, well, I don't know what it is, a baby A or baby B, and they'll allow them to choose it as later on. This is most of the craziest stuff we'd ever heard in our lives. The Bible condemns that. But people are trying to blame other people. And the very first one in verse 19, verse line there is, he says, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? I thank God that we're not held accountable for the sins of our families, of the sins of our parents, of the sins of our children, grandchildren, brothers and sisters. We're not held accountable for that. God says, and he says there in verse 20 there, he says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son." And the last part here is what I want. "The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon them." If you live righteous, thank God, God's going to credit you as being righteous. If you live wicked, you're going to be wicked. God's going to credit you as being wicked. Thank God, there have been, I think Brother Greg over the years has testified to us, he was raised in a family that there was alcohol there, strong alcohol. And by the grace of God, God delivered him from that. There are so many people that say, "Well, I'm an alcoholic because my parents were an alcoholic." Well, God can deliver that. God can remove us from those things.
Yes, thank God.
But we are living in a time where everybody wants to have no accountability at all. It's not my fault, it's their fault. And the thing is, that's not new. We can go back from the very beginning of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned, and God came down to meet with them, and Adam told the Lord, and he actually blamed God, and roundabout, that's always the way to blame. And he came back, and he said, "Lord," he goes, "that woman that you had given to me caused me to sin." Now, my fault, Lord. It's your fault, Lord, that you gave me the woman. That's basically what he did. And there again, we laugh a little bit about it, but we need to be careful because the enemy desires to do that same with us. And let me tell you what, I can tell you in my own personal thinking sometimes, the devil tried, it's somebody else's fault.
Always.
Somebody did this to cause me to be this way. Somebody acted up way. No. Everything through the Bible we can find where God says this is how you need to be under whatever circumstances.
Absolutely.
As they were nailing Jesus to the cross, as they were driving nails into his hand, what did he pray? "Father, forgive them." You know, we say that. They were killing him, hurting him, but he still said, "Father, forgive them." Adam said, "The Lord, the woman that you gave to me, has caused me to sin." So the Lord goes to the woman. And what did she say? "The serpent beguile me." I looked up that word beguile. Anybody know what the word beguile means? Charm. The serpent charmed me to partake of this fruit. Well, God didn't say, well, then he went to the serpent. Of course, the serpent didn't have anywhere else to blame anybody. That stopped right there. But he did not allow all three of them to be guiltless. He had a charge on all three of them. They were held to a punishment. We think of the story of King David. You know the story of King David with Uriah. And that story with Bathsheba and all that. And as time went on, and Uriah worked all that out to be taken out in the battlefield. And he was killed and things like that. Then Nathan came on the scene. And you know the story of Nathan, he's talking about a little sheep, a little lamb that this man had, and he loved it and all that. You know the story, I don't have to go into all that story. And another man came in and stole that sheep, and he killed the sheep, and he used it to feed some visitors or whatever. Some people come in. Well, David got upset. He goes, "Who is this man? Let's go out and we'll find him and destroy this man." And Nathan told him, "David, you're the one." It's always somebody else. One of the things as we need to do as saints, as people, as the word of God is preached, to humble ourselves to hear it. "Lord, I'm the one." I guarantee you there's probably not a one of us, including myself, and we need to be careful, a one of us in here that from time to time over our years, the word of God has been preached, and we could say, "You know what? That applies to Brother Danny. That applies to Brother Dave. That applies to Brother Ken." And it may. Lord, what applies to me? Something applies to me. But everybody takes it and he says, "That goes over there, goes over there, goes back over there, goes behind us, it goes somewhere else, another congregation. What about me? What about me?" Verse 20, he says, "The soul
that sent it. Do we understand that? One sin. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if we're guilty of one sin, we're guilty of the whole law. Why will I only use God's name in vain when I got upset? It's a sin. I've only stole because I was hungry. It's a sin. I've only done little things that is not really a big deal compared to what other people have, God. But if it's word in the Word of God, it's a sin. It shall cause us to die and go to hell. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. One sin. And we need to understand some of that. I've pondered that in my own mind and said, Lord, really just once? Well, we're back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they were running from the garden because they ate of one fruit. He said, to all the trees in the garden you can have, but of that one tree, I don't want you to partake of it. But because they took of that one tree of that garden that he told them not to take of it, they were removed from the garden. There was also other punishments that came upon them too. Verse 21. But if the wicked, thank God for this verse, but if the wicked will turn, and that's a key factor. People just want to repent. I'm sorry, but they don't turn. If the wicked will turn from all his sin that he hath committed and keep all the statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and shall not die. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And that word, he says it's the wicked. Well, I'm not a wicked person. You know, some people don't think they're wicked because they're not going out there and doing all the sin. They're a good person and they are good people. But God calls them wicked if there is one sin. In verse 22, all his transgressions, thank God, that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him, and his righteousness that he hath done shall he shall live. Thank God for that. All our sins. God doesn't say, I'll forgive you of 99% of your sins, but I want to see how you do on this particular one. He says, I forgive you of everything when we repent from sin. All of your transgressions, and he removes them from us, and he accredits us to be a righteous person, and that he says, we shall live. Thank God for that. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12 says there, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I'm not going to stand there with my mom and dad. My children aren't going to stand with me. I can't say one good thing to the Lord about my children. When my children stand before God, I can't speak for them. When my grandchildren, if they come to the age of accountability and grow up, and I can't speak for them. My grandfather that was in the congregation and blessing, he can't speak for me. Aunt Sissy can't. No one can speak for us when we stand before the God at the day of judgment. Then shall every one of us shall give an account for me. And I believe all my heart that as we hear the word of God, I believe there may even be some of us that sit here among us this morning that may even say, I really don't believe that part of the word of God. Now we can say that with an ignorance of not understanding. That's a difference between saying, I don't understand that, and the difference between saying, I don't believe that. There's a big difference. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul giving Timothy some instructions, he says, preach the word. You know, sometimes in preaching the word of God, it's a whole lot easier sometimes to preach to a congregation like in revival or camp meeting where you don't know anybody. You know, it's a lot easier that way. But he tells Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I know he said this back there is over 2,000 years ago, but where are we at today? He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The thought of that, look that up, that verse there, it says they will not tolerate sound doctrine. That's a fearful thing. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. I don't want to hear what God has. That's the way our world is today. That's why our world's in a mess. That's why our world, and I don't say our world in a sense, I'll just go to the United States of America. Our United States of America's in a mess. You know why? Because they will not tolerate the Word of God. Look at as I just mentioned to you about children, allowing them to be raised and making their own decisions, whether a man or a woman. I knew a man that he was gay, and he married another man, and they adopted a little black girl. I'm thinking to myself, how screwed up is this entire scenario? It can't be any more screwed up. That little girl will be so confused and growing up in life, and you try to teach her this, there's no possible way she will accept this. She won't. She can't unless the Lord really deals with her and gets her under conviction and sees that wicked, sinful scenario. It says they will not tolerate to hear the word of God. Verse 4, and they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. You know, when I bring some of these things, and I know I'm not saying that we mostly are involved in these things, but let me tell you what, it affects us. You go back 30 years ago. You go back 30 years ago and somebody says to you, oh, this is my baby. It was just born. And, us guys, Lynn gets on me a lot of times. You know, we see a little baby. I don't pay attention if it has traces of blue or yellow. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. And Lynn says, well, it's a boy, you can tell. No, I can't tell. You know, it's a baby. You know, I don't know. She said, well, it's got a little traces of blue in its outfit. I'm like, I don't look for that stuff. But anyway, so at 30 years ago, if you'd have walked up to someone and just had a little baby, and they said to you, and I said, is it a boy or a girl? And they said, well, we don't know. We would lose our mind 30 years ago. We would probably put that person in a home, in a ward somewhere. What do you mean you don't know? Well, we're going to let them decide. We would put them away. We would have them under psychiatric evaluation. Today, if you did that same scenario, you wouldn't make a comment. It's okay, I'll just leave you alone. Because it's not as a shock to you today because it has become a part of our life. But it's still wrong according to the Word of God. And that's just one thing. I don't really want to harp on that. But as he says here, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure righteousness, holiness, living free from sin, being in the services of God. The Bible still teaches us that we need to be in the service of God. As you see the day approaching, if you don't see the day approaching, as you see the day approaching, forsake not the assembling of the house of the Lord. If we don't see that today, we'll never see it. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. When the watchman cries, danger, 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 and people turn their ears. We don't know of a time, I hope it never comes in our time, to where they send someone in here and sit among us to want to know what we preach. Or come and say, hey, do you preach these things?
And if we were to say yes, then somehow they would change things. I don't know. They'd take our nonprofit away from us or something. I don't know. They could do some things. I told you some years ago when the fire marshal came in here many years ago, and he looked around here, and he said to me, he says, because there was a fire somewhere at some nightclub or something, and a lot of people got killed because the fire just erupted and caught. He says, because of these walls, they're panel. Those walls are panel. He goes, you don't have push and go doors. If you understand, when you leave a building, you need to be able to push it. They need to open out so people can leave. They're not pulling in there. He says, you need to have exits out that way, exits out different ways, all these things. And so he and I talked for a little while. The very first thing he asked me when he came into the church here, he goes, how many people are in your congregation? And I told him, you know, roughly how many we have, maybe 20 or something like that on a good morning, Sunday morning. And he understood that the finances weren't like they would have been some of these mega churches. And I said to him, he was talking about these things may come to place to where you may have to be required to change them. I said, you're talking about shutting down probably a majority of the churches in the area. He goes, I know. He says, exactly what's going to happen. But thank the Lord, we never heard from that again. That went away. I never did hear from that again. But they could. What are you preaching? And they could label it as hate crimes with some things and change it. You know, these are some things that sometimes ponders my mind, and I don't like to say them, but it's real. But my aunt passed away this past week, or this week, I think, last weekend or whatever. Those of you who don't know, my Aunt Eleanor and Uncle Don, they lived here and they moved to North Carolina. And Uncle Don, they were not Christians at the time. And Uncle Don was working on a bulldozer. And he had his son with him on there, and somehow they were going up a little bit of a mountain there in North Carolina, and the bulldozer rolled over, threw them both off. And I think it was Brian that was on there with him. He got thrown away. But the bulldozer flipped over, and Uncle Don landed on the ground. The bulldozer blade landed right on top of him and pinned him. And he yelled to Brian to go get help, and Brian took off. And he said later on, he goes, when I seen him leaving, he goes, I thought that's the last time I'll ever see him alive. I'm going to die here. But he started to pray, and God spared his life. And they both went to church for many years. And I was down there some years ago, and they hadn't been going to church. And their unsaved told me, he goes, talk to them about going to church. They don't go to church no more. They hate church. They don't want anything to do with church and those things. But you know what? There was a lot of the word that has been applied. Now Uncle Don's been gone for many years. And I've said this before. Anytime anybody ever dies, whether somebody I know or somebody even in the news or somebody that's famous, I pause for a few moments. Now, I don't know. Some people can, especially when God grants them some time before their end of life, they can repent and get saved. But if they don't repent and they end up in hell, there's no chance to say, I want to change my place. I remember the words. I remember the preaching of the word. I know it now. There's no chance of that. I think of the gentleman that I just mentioned, and as we went down and seen his wife, and she says he doesn't have any idea what's going on. His mind's gone. He doesn't even know who I am or anything like that. And I thought to myself, the moment that people leave this world, they've turned their ears from the truth all their lives, and they will regret it unmeasurably by the time they make hell. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when they call out the trumpet, repent and be saved. Today is that day. And not only just to repent, but turn from sin and live for God. Live holy. We can't be just shadowy, so to speak. We can't live on the edge. Well, I just want to live for the Lord a couple days a week. We have to commit our soul to God 100%. First or Second Peter 1:10 says, give diligence to make thy call and our call and election sure. Are you saved this morning? I know the enemy always battles us and say, you're not really saved. But from time to time, we ought to know things are well with my soul today. Everything is well with me by the grace of God. If the Lord were to take me, I'm going to make heaven. Are you sure? Make your calling and election sure. I have a desire to love this word, to love it. I want to love it. I want to eat it. I want to take it. I don't want to trim it. I don't want to take, well, this page that I really don't care and do away with. Love it. Enjoy it, because the Spirit of God dwells within us. Are things well with you this morning? Are they well with you right now? I've said this before many times. You need to pray for me, the watchman. You need to pray for me that God helps me to sound the trumpet clear. I don't ever, as he said back here, I think it was here in Peter, or in Timothy, he's right there. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. I don't like getting in all those things. Sometimes I do in the preaching. And there again, sometimes because something may be in the news, something I may hear, I emphasize it strongly about it, you know. But pray for me. And not necessarily pray for me just because of me. You're praying for me because your soul is at stake. In a natural way, I'm sitting on the wall looking out for trouble coming. You don't want me sitting on the wall taking a nap, spiritually speaking. And here comes trouble. And hey, wake him up. He needs to wake up. The preach words, sometimes it's uncomfortable to hear the word of God. Every one of us has sat under the preaching of the sound of the gospel for many period of years. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but that is the love of Jesus Christ. David said, search me, Lord, try me. Look at my life. Pray for the watchman, that he sounds the trumpet, that he sounds the warning loud and clear, and that he watches. And most important, you need to take heed of what the watchman says. So the title of the message that I had on here, The Job of the Watchman and the Responsibility of the People. So you can sit under the sound of the gospel. You know how many times people can sit here? They don't have a clue what we said. Now I know this is kind of comical, and I've done it myself. Sometimes we come to service next Sunday. You remember what I preached last Sunday? And I joke with Sister Carol sometimes when I put the recordings on this thing. If I don't take a picture of my message tonight and tomorrow, by middle of the week when I start putting them on, I'm like, oh, remember what my title was. I got to go back and look or listen to it and I can get it right. I'm not talking about that. But Lord, we need to listen, pay attention. Amen. Not because it's me. I know that. I can say that. Not because it's Brother Doug, because it values your soul. May the Lord bless you, as I was saying.
Amen.
Let's open our psalm book and turn to page 148. 148.
I come, Jesus, I
Appreciate each one being in service today.